Of course, nowadays, if you persist in knocking, they might sick the dogs on you. Never know. One of the wonderful things that we will be doing in a few weeks is dedicating our congregational care team that Susan has been preparing. And one of the things I've noticed about that preparation is that sometimes they will be asked to offer a prayer. And I find that this happens more in the Free Church Baptist tradition in which I grew up than in our culture and religious setting, where sometimes people will ask you on the spur of the moment, without any expectation whatsoever, to offer a prayer. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody from a deacon or even a pastor of a church will say, I want you to pray for us right now for the entire group here. It may be a congregation, it may be a small group gathered in a place. That happened to me one time. And the first time it happened to me, I asked that the entire group enter a moment of silence. I asked them to bow their heads and close their eyes so that I could gather my thoughts. And my thoughts began something like this. God, I've never done this before. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And I don't know if it's going to make sense. Help me to at least look like I know what I'm doing. Numerous surveys reveal that public speaking is one of the most frightening things people do. But I would imagine public praying is up there with it. And that when we're asked to pray, we are often also asked to bow our heads and close our eyes, even though we really don't have to. But there's a convenience in that, especially for the person giving the prayer, because that person doesn't have to notice the reaction of those around him or her as the prayer is offered. The fact that public prayer often elicits feelings of self-consciousness on the part of the prayer giver may be one of the reasons why Jesus prefers that prayer be done in private, away from the spectacle of impressing others or embarrassing yourself. Because prayer should never be solely about you, but about God and your relationship with God. Jesus said, when you pray, go to your room and shut the door and pray to God in silence, in private, in secret, so that the God who hears your prayer in secret will reward you. In our solitude and private moments with God, we are able to unleash our heights and depths, the joys and sorrows, the wholeness and emptiness, the gratitude and shame of our life, without self-conscious fear or inhibition, trusting that this compassionate God will know and understand us unlike any other. Prayer is not about you or me. It's about our relationship with God. So when you pray, why do you pray? How do you pray? Do you pray as a last resort when all else fails? Or is prayer something more to you? One of my favorite television series is Madam Secretary, about a female Secretary of State, played by Tia Leone, who tries to balance the demanding nature of her job with her role as wife and mother. In one episode, her husband has contracted a deadly virus, and the chances of his survival are uncertain. As she and her family wait for the results of the surgery, she notices her son, who is an avowed atheist, praying in the hospital chapel. She sits next to him and whispers, "I thought you regarded religion as an opiate of the people." "Yeah," he replies, "but sometimes I need a hit. Sometimes I need a hit." Is prayer that drug that you turn to as a last resort when all else fails, that hit that will somehow work when nothing else will? Or is it something more? Prayer is a conversation with God, as I informed the children. It is a conversation with God conveying our hopes and dreams, our joys, our questions, frustrations, our dilemmas, our outrage. All of this emanating from our soul. However, prayer is also an attempt to notice, to listen, and to learn, acknowledging that God is trying to relate to us in both our public and private dimensions of life. The prophet Isaiah conveys a concept of God as frustrated and angry with Israel in an attempt to be noticed and heard and recognized and appreciated. God complains, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that did not call on my name." Learning how to pray begins with an acknowledgement that God is in the house, that the Spirit and love of God is a reality to be reckoned with, a reality to be reckoned with, sought and appreciated as a body hungers and thirsts for food and drink. And to this craving, Jesus responds, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." Yet how often have we asked and sought and knocked only to find our request denied, our way blocked, and the door slammed in our face? These are the consequences when prayer is used as a commodity to be shaped and consumed by our will and our desire and not God's. Not long ago, a Rhode Island youth filed a lawsuit against her high school that displayed a plaque of a previous class on which was inscribed a prayer for God to enable students to do and be their best. The youth argued that the plaque was a violation of the law separating church and state. And as an atheist, she was personally offended by it. But she also revealed that she became an atheist after praying for God to cure her mother. And when her mother died, her faith in God died as well. This is where prayer becomes taxing if reserved simply for private petitions, and require a public dimension by which our private prayers, our private requests are joined with others through the church in an attempt to embody the corporate heart of Christ. This means that God, through us, will experience gains and losses. Often good people, prophets, apostles, disciples, even the Christ, will die for righteous causes. And often good people will die for unjust and unexplainable reasons, from acts of nature that destroy entire communities, from terminal illness that prematurely takes the lives of our loved ones. Yet prayer, both private and public, acknowledges that God is Alpha and Omega, that unseen spiritual beginning and end from which all visible, physical, and tangible life is sustained and flourishes. God strives within nature and within the nature of humanity to be noticed and appreciated, to carve out a realm of righteousness where God's life marks the course of our infancy to immortality. Listen, learn, and see that the presence of God surrounds you and consumes you, shouting, "Here I am! Here I am!" in the wonder and blessings we receive from creation, as well as in the love and compassion we give to one another, we give to our world, and we give to God. When the love and will of God becomes the focus of your prayer, when the focus of your prayer is not about you, but about your relationship with God, then ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock.